You're listening to The Kirk Collins Show.
Hey everyone, it's Whitney V. I wanted to call in and wish everybody a super happy Pride. I've been going 14 years in a row to the festival here in Milwaukee, and I just cannot get enough. The vibe is amazing. It is just full of love, full of freedom, full of just being yourself, having a good time, and of course dancing, which I cannot get enough of the dancing. What Pride means to me is just, like I said, love. I think love is love, and whether that's between two people, friendships, it's great to celebrate being loved and loving other people, and we should all accept each other. I can't get enough of everyone that goes with me, and you know, supports my family and my friends, and we are all human and we all love each other and support each other. Have a happy Pride, everyone.
Hey Kurt, it's Stacy. I'm just calling to tell you that I love you and how proud I am of you for making your big move to LA and living your big dream and living life out loud. I love you and I can't wait to see you sometime this year when I come visit you. Love you much. Bye.
Welcome to the Kirk Collins Show. I'm your host, Kirk Collins. Thank you, Whitney Veloz and Stacy, for leaving a message. Don't forget, you can leave my show a voicemail. The link is in the episode description. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at The Kirk Collins Show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We've reached 10 countries so far, 25 states in the United States. So we are really becoming an international show, and I just love it. Today, I have a special guest, my brother, Mitchell Collins. He stops by, we chat World Pride and more. This is The Kirk Collins Show.
This call is now being recorded.
Hello and welcome to the show. My first guest today is my brother, Mitchell Collins. Hi, Mitch.
Hi, Kurt. Hi, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just, winding down from a day of work. It's 8:30 local time and on the East Coast. And yeah, so just hanging out with the cat right now.
Just hanging out with the cat. Well, happy Pride. Mm-hmm. Mitch, you just returned from World Pride. How was it?
Oh, Kurt, it was fabulous. So I saw a lot of drag queens, unicorns, and lots of rainbows. Neil Patrick Harris was like 20 feet away from me, moving on a float during the parade. So that was wonderful. Got to see him dance. I also got to see our cousin Becky, too. She was in town for her birthday, but also World Pride. So it was, you know, kind of I felt spoiled, you know, getting to see her, too.
And who'd you go to Pride with?
So I went with my boyfriend, Ben, and then two friends. One of them is my coworker and his boyfriend.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And how long were you there?
Just 2 days. So got there Friday, and we went to this penthouse party, and things got a little wild. So after the penthouse party, I really wanted pizza. So I'm vaguely remembering this trip to the pizza place. I just remember telling people in line that I was Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, and did they believe you?
Probably not, so that's okay. But I said I identify with Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you've ever seen the show, you would know.
Oh, I have seen it. I love Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, nice.
In Hartford, Connecticut.
Yep, West Hartford, but yeah, on the west side.
Hartford. Do they have their own pride?
Yes, we do, but we don't host it for the month of June because New York City and Boston are so close, so we don't want to be, you know, competitive with those prides.
So when is it?
But that's okay. September. It's pretty Pride all year here. It's Pride all year.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in June. There's prides all over that. What do you love about going to Pride?
I just love that everyone's all happy and smiling and very, very accepting. I like that it's a really inclusive atmosphere that anyone can attend to and just be happy that they're there and you know, be comfortable with themselves, or at least I hope they can be. And I just really enjoy all the activities too, the costumes, drag queens, just everything, the decoration. It's a really good vibe.
Do you dress up?
Of course I do. Well, I wear my pink or my crop top when I go out, and sometimes I'll just put rainbows on my teeth, paint them on there, and that's my outfit, really.
Have you ever done drag before?
I have not, no, but I would try it.
Oh, what would your name be?
Ooh. I haven't thought about that. Ben, what should my name be? I don't know. The Queen. Yeah, I'm not sure, Kurt. Do you have any ideas, Trixie?
Well, I mean, you know, your older brother is Trixie Firecracker, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we should think about it.
Well, what would be a younger queen's name from Trixie? Like, you know, like a sibling.
I think you could be like Kung Fu Candy or Midnight Mystery.
Kurt, I got it. How about Britta Filter?
Oh my god. There you go.
Oh wait, I think that one's taken.
Britta, oh, is it? You stole
I'm,
it.
I'm sure that's taken, yeah.
Britta Filter.
Yeah. Oh, every time you go into your fridge for food, you see Britta. Britta's there.
You're wild.
Looking wild. For a snack.
So what is it you do there out in West Hartford?
I'm a data scientist for an insurance company. I work closely with actuaries in determining risk and helping the business make decisions around that risk.
Woo, okay.
It's a mouthful. I know.
I mean, data scientist over there, huh?
Data science, yep.
Data. Does your company sell outside?
Yes, we do, actually. We have a very large diversity network, an LGBT network at work, and we, I think we're over 1,000 members company-wide.
Oh, wow.
So it's very impressive. It's full of allies and lesbians, bisexual, transgender. I do have transgender colleagues at work. And gay person. So, yes, an all-inclusive atmosphere too, and we are represented at Pride across the U.S., wherever we have offices.
That's amazing. Well, just in case the listeners at home, they don't know, this is Mitch, my gay brother.
Younger gay brother, yep.
Yeah, slightly, very slightly younger, not much. Mitch, what was it like growing up with Whitney and I?
Well, so you two are very wild. I remember that. Compared to you two, like, I was the complete angel, because, yeah, I mean, you two got in trouble all the time, and I got to experience it firsthand, especially with, like, you know, the police coming over on occasion and all that, so, it, yeah. But I honestly, you know, every family has their wild child or wild children, I should say. And that was definitely you and Whitney.
Yeah. Yeah, we were pretty wild. But I mean, you were right there with us. We always used to play town. You know, I was the mayor, Whitney was secretary, and then you were a resident.
Yes, I was a resident. I usually had like 15 kids, I would say. And I think I was the owner of a salon in town too.
Yeah, so. You owned a salon in town. You had a great house.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We used to have our own school, and I think I was the principal.
Oh my god. It was a fully functioning town, right? Probably. Learning from the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else did we do? Because we grew up in the country, so we had to kind of improvise.
Ghosts in the graveyard and that cemetery down the street. Kick the can. Yep. All those fun childhood games. And there were a lot of kids around the neighborhood too, so actually it worked out, you know, playing all those games with everyone.
Do you think we were always like playing tricks on you?
Sometimes I think you played tricks on me, Kurt, but yeah, probably. That's okay. I was pretty gullible growing up, though.
So yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mitch, as a kid, was like the sweetest little kid. He never did anything wrong. You were pretty quiet.
Oh, yes. I was very quiet, very timid, and shy. I actually, it's funny because now I'm comfortable speaking in front of mass amount of people, but you wouldn't know it growing up in my childhood because I was always just really, really quiet and had a lot of anxiety about speaking up and all of that. But I just at 25 years old, I think I found my voice where I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna take chances and put myself out there, not care too much what other people think. And it's really helped in my career and my personality and my overall personal growth.
Do you think because Whitney and I were such strong personalities that it kind of made it harder for you to find your own?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that probably had some play into it too. So I'm being a little shy just because I had two strong personalities next to me. And Whitney's, you know, of course, hers is awfully strong. You were always nice to me. So, you know, Whitney too.
Yeah.
Well, I had
Whitney.
I
love Whit, but Whitney, you know, can be a little bossy when we were kids. A little bossy. I'm like, Whitney, I'm the mayor. I'm running the show, girlfriend. Calm down.
She likes to be, she loves to be in control. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Love her to death.
Okay, so you didn't come out until what? How old were you when you came out?
22.
And at that point, I must have been only about, what, 23? So How much older am I than you?
I don't know. You tell me the subtraction.
I was born in 87. You're born in 91?
The next decade over. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so you came out at 22 and I came out at 15. Why do you think it took you so long to come out after you already had a brother who kicked open that door for you?
Well, I think that door took a lot of time, and, you know, I don't need to go over it with you to reminisce about that, but, it was definitely about being comfortable in my own skin and seeing the reaction of the parents and especially dad to you coming out. And I give you so much credit. I have yet to write you a thank you letter for paving that highway for me. But yeah, I mean,
okay, gift receipts, gift cards.
Okay. Yep. All out. But our parents, we come from a very conservative family. Even dad's siblings and their significant others were always very conservative, the Collins family. So I know we don't talk to most of them now, but I was always kind of like, no, I'm not ready yet. I'm definitely not ready because I don't know what the reactions are going to be. Because I saw their reactions from you. So, but you powered through it, and I give you all the credit in the world. And, I have a lot to thank you for it. So thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I know that's bad because I think the part that I felt bad about, like, I remember, like, visiting you in college, and I'm like, oh, I think Mitch is kind of gay. And I was like, no way. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if he's gay. And I didn't ever really talk to you about it because I was like, I don't know if you'll feel uncomfortable or how it's going to feel. So I just left it alone.
Yeah. And,
was it something that you thought about? Like, maybe I should talk to her about it?
Yeah, actually, I've wanted to for some time, even before coming out, but I'm glad you waited because I don't think I would have been fully ready at that point. My closest friends always knew. So, you know, my friend Maria from Cedarburg High School, she knew, but she was like you. She was just waiting for my time, right? Waiting for me. And same with one of my closest college friends, Kim. She also knew, but again, was very patient and respectful and was waiting for me to be ready and comfortable in my own skin. So I have a lot to thank those two for being the person who I am today as well.
So who was the first person you told?
So the first person I told was actually Whitney. But then you right after that. So
okay.
I consider it a tie because it was basically just like hours apart. We'll call it a tie.
Was there anything that surprised you about coming out?
Yes. Well, everyone was pretty positive about it for the most part. At least that was my perception, and I just carried the momentum forward and kept coming out to everybody, really. And then I came out to people at work right away, and that was well received. All my coworkers obviously had no issue with it whatsoever. And there were a lot of LGBT colleagues on my team where I work now, so I felt like, this atmosphere is totally fine, totally safe to come out.
Did it feel like a weight off your shoulders once it was all done?
Absolutely. I felt like I could be my whole self, like bring my whole self to people and give my attention to people and not be distracted by anything.
Mm-hmm. Trying to cover up, but you don't want to show a certain side of you because you're afraid.
Yeah, I mean, I was always, myself, but there were always just like a few things that I would hold myself back on. But like my closest friends, they even commented that, I'm still Mitch even after coming out. Like nothing's changed.
Right.
It's just a couple, a fact about me has changed. Right. Where I could finally tell myself that I am who I am, and also tell it to them.
Yeah, I think part of the reason dad finally came around when he did for me was because he realized Kurt is still Kurt at the end of the day. He's still crazy as hell. He's still funny. He's got a very outgoing, loud personality, but that's how I've always been. So it was kind of he had to realize that I was still the same person that he liked more.
Right.
And yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we're just one big gay happy family.
Right? And I mean, just a couple years ago, we were all at Christmas, me, you, your boyfriend, my husband. Mm-hmm. Well, I think he was my boyfriend at the time, but it was just us with the parents. And, being at 15, I thought never would ever happen.
Right. Yeah, we've come so far as a family and as a society. 50 years after the Stonewall riots,
well,
we've come so far.
Years to go.
We do, yes, especially for transgender rights.
Have you experienced any discrimination?
Maybe some comments here and there, but nothing too crazy. Not that I've noticed. Not out here too much. Not even at home. So I don't know. I think I came out in 2013, and I'm glad it was mostly positive. So I can't really say like at a restaurant or any kind of public venue where I have been discriminated again. Well, not that I noticed anyway.
That is what we're aiming for. That is great.
Yes. Have you? Do you have a few examples?
Well, Mitch, I have 800,000 examples.
Oh, you. I'm so sorry.
Even in Los Angeles, where I live, I've had discrimination.
It's everywhere.
Happened to me. But I'm a little, I think what's a big difference between me and you is I'm a lot louder than you are.
Yeah, maybe. But
I mean, maybe.
Yeah,
but
we still have a ways to go, and it's not everyone's going to accept everything, right? And,
right.
But I'm happy to see the majority do.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Never would I thought in a world where marriage would be legal even everywhere, if you think about it, in the U.S.
Right? I mean, I remember a time that there was a vote, like, in the U.S., and it was to say that marriage was between a man and a woman, and I was just so devastated that it passed. I think it was Wisconsin that happened. It was Wisconsin, yeah.
And yeah, Wisconsin had the ban in 2006, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I begged and pleaded for them not to vote for it, and, you know, and then fast forward, so what year, 2016 I got married? 2016?
Yeah, because 2015 was when the Supreme Court passed the legislation.
Yeah, okay, so I got married 2016, and then fast forward to that, and my dad is walking my husband down the aisle.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and that just goes to show you people can change and grow and develop. That's great. Yes, Wisconsin, it felt like at that time was going backwards,
right.
Along with a group of other states as well. They also had bans in place. Massachusetts was the first one in 2007, and then Connecticut was the second follow shortly after. But yeah, it was scary because we were living in Wisconsin, and it was like that was in the back of my mind. I wasn't fully out or comfortable with myself, but I felt something for you, and I could feel that pain. I could feel the agony on your end and the distress.
I
just want you to know that I did feel something for you once that ban passed. It felt terrible, and you know, even for myself too. But I just, you know, didn't fully realize it at that point.
Right. Did you ever go through a point in your time where you were like, I don't want to be gay?
Yes, I did, mostly because I just didn't want to deal with the coming out part. Right. It was like, oh, you know, that must be an easy escape, but it's not. And it definitely wasn't worth fighting for. So I'm glad I didn't hold out any longer than I did. And I, you know, I came out when I was ready. Could have come out sooner, but at least I did.
Well, it's just like Hillary Clinton. It took her a long time to come out and finally say, and then she's on Saturday Night Live, and then she's like, yeah, I could have probably said it a little sooner. Yeah. She could have helped.
Could have. Yeah, but exactly. What it could have, should have, but.
What, exactly. But you did it, and I'm very proud of you, and you've become an outstanding little citizen out there in Hartford, Connecticut. Data scientist thing.
Have you been watching the debates, Kurt, at all?
Oh, yes, of course, a little bit, you know.
Who sticks out for you?
Well, I kind of have a crush on Julian Castro. I think his name is Julian Castro.
Oh, I was really impressed by him.
He came out with
a lot of fart.
Well, I don't know if I was impressed or if I just thought he was hot. I can't, sometimes I get confused. But I think he did a good, great job.
I think he did too. And I think he'd be a very strong VP. For
yeah,
sure.
You know, he's very smart. I think, you know, for me, I think he has some more growth to do in this time. I love Kamala. She is my senator, as I live in California. Smart. Mm-hmm. She is so smart. I love listening to her speak. And I, of course, love Elizabeth Warren. I love Buttigieg. But I think Pete, unfortunately, you know, he's just the mayor of kind of a medium-sized town. I'm sorry. And so he does have military experience, and not the other great experience. But I just don't know if he's ready yet. And he's, maybe he is.
That may be.
I don't think he's bad. I think he's great. I think he's absolutely great. And I love listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I mean, come on. Mr. Biden has, I love Mr. Biden. I love Biden. Like, I think, and when you look at someone's character, I think everything I've ever heard about the guy is he cares about people. And I think that's what we lack right now the most, is the other person who we don't need to speak of does not, in my opinion, hold a lot of value to people, to the average person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I really like Joe Biden. I always really like him. And I think he has been incredible for country. You know, I think people always want to hold everyone's mistakes. You know, you did this, you did this, you did this. What people don't understand understand too is that you can learn from those mistakes. If you don't, you know, before we fall, or so we fall before we stand, you know, that's kind of my saying is, yeah, we fall, but then we get up. We fall and then we learn how to stand. We fall and we become stronger. You know, so I feel that way with anybody. People make mistakes. Mm-hmm. People learn from their mistakes. You have to be able to
No one's perfect. There's dirt on everybody.
Joe, he's not handling his mistake quite the way that I think he should. Part of that, I think, is that he's 70-something-year-old or 80? Is he 80?
Like 77 or 78. I forget. He's getting up there.
I hate to use this old thing, but, you know, it's hard to teach him what an old dog he tricks or something like that. It's just a little different for him. But I still like him. But, yeah, I'm probably Kamala. It's probably my girl.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I really like Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren. I think as the debate and the primary election season continues, I really hope to see more of them and hope they excel. And I love Bernie, right? I was such a Bernie fan, you know, since 2016, 2015, and was pretty devastated when he lost. I know, you know, I voted for Hillary, but I was still very, very, like, not in the primaries, but in the general, but I was still very distraught when he, you know, when he didn't make the Democratic nomination. That's fine. I just don't have that same energy for him anymore. I still really, really like him, but I don't know. I don't want to use the age thing as an excuse. He's also up there in age, like 76 to 77. So I want Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez up there, but we all can't have her. She is.
You know who's also really good is that senator from Minnesota. What's her name?
Klobuchar?
How do I say that? Yeah.
Amy Klobuchar?
Her name's hard to say, but she's also really good. She's got a lot of spice too. I like it.
Bernie. Again, she's a strong senator too. So
listen, when I hear Bernie talk, I get like tears to my eyes. I do like Bernie. I like what he's saying. I'm with him. We need to
know you
solution.
Do.
You know, like, but yeah, I now more than ever, I probably have a harder time getting on Bernie's bandwagon, but I do respect him. I love him. I think he is great. I think he's authentic. I also think that he cares for people, which I found to be very important.
It is.
Cause that's,
especially the middle and lower class.
Right. And so, you know, may the best man or woman win. Let's see.
Yeah.
What happened?
Agreed.
A lot of times.
Just anyone to who can beat the person that we will not name. So
yeah, we don't. But you know, like in America, like I truly believe we need a revolution. We need to change a lot of things, and there's, in my opinion, a lot of outdated things, electoral college, yada yada. I mean, the list go on and on.
Right.
So I know that Bernie would shake it up, get it, you know, but the thing is, you know, we need to really focus on Congress now, because we need to flip the Congress. The power that they have is, to me, it doesn't represent what they shouldn't have that power, like such as the Supreme Court, because I don't think it's a fair representation of people. This is my personal opinion. When Rhode Island gets the same amount of representatives as California, like I just don't think, I personally don't think me in California is very representative, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if it was representative, Hillary would have won.
I mean, I truly believe she did win, and I think especially the fact that, I don't think it was a fair election, I'm sorry, but when a foreign adversary worked so hard to elect somebody, there's a reason that they're working so hard to elect somebody, and I don't know. I don't think it was fair. I don't think it was fair.
Yeah. Now we got to deal with this
issue.
I am all for this concept called ranked choice voting, and I would love for you to. I could send you information on what that entails after this, but I think it's statistically a better way to vote for candidates.
Okay.
I think we would minimize the issues that we have with our current voting process.
Well, I think we do have a lot of issues, especially with Georgia with Stacey Abraham. I'm bad with names.
Yes, Abraham.
Stacey Abraham. We saw a lot of voter suppression, and it's very clear. I mean, it's so clear the GOP wants voter suppression. They want their districts to be like outrageous, like the way the voter lines. I mean, it's just so we're not really, in my opinion, in a true democracy anymore, and that's very sad. But enough about State of the Union, Mitch. That's not why we brought you here today.
Sorry.
Mitch.
On a tangent.
No, that was great. And I love you for that. And you know what? Mitch used to be a conservative.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I guess I wasn't as informed as I should have been back when Obama was rising the ranks in 2008. And I was very blown away by him. But again, at the same time, I was going through a lot myself. And it goes back to being a very informed voter. I highly believe in awareness and educating yourself on the issues and what the candidates stand for and doing your best to make that selection. But that I did not do in 2008. But I regret that a lot because Obama, I missed Obama a lot. So I regret it. Thank you.
Do you think a lot of that was you just kind of adapting to your surroundings? Because you grew up in such a conservative environment. I mean, not me. I was a crazy kid, like, not conservative at all. I was like, no.
Everyone
else in our world was pretty much conservative besides me. I mean, Grandma voted for Barack the first time.
Grandma has always
been conservative.
Grandma was progressive, though, for a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm. Grandma was very progressive. She loved the gay.
Yeah, and then I do think she voted for Clint, too, I remember growing up hearing her say. So our grandma, mom's mom, was very progressive, actually, from issues.
But do you think so? You think growing up, being surrounded by a lot of conservative people, that helped kind of make you believe that you were conservative?
Yes, I think it had a role to play as well. My world wasn't as big either. I wasn't fully developed yet as a person, socially, and just really were, you know, I was on the surface, and I'd call it those issues. And again, it goes back to just being about going on in the world and, you know, voting for things will make a real impact for the better for the world. And that's what I want to do from now on.
Yeah, I think that's good. So
yeah.
What is your proudest accomplishment?
My proudest accomplishment? That's a good one. I think, you know, I complain about this sometimes, but I'm proud of running a full marathon. I ran a full marathon. I know it's a physical feat, and I do a very, very proud of other moments, but marathon is not something I thought I would ever, ever, ever do in my life. I hated running in gym class. The mile felt like might as well have been 30 miles, really, in gym class. It was hard for me. It was really hard. I would always be out of breath. But yeah, I trained and trained, and I ran a full marathon a few years ago and completed it in four hours and 25 minutes. So I was very proud of that. And it was my first and probably maybe not my last marathon. I'd probably run one more or two. We'll see. But
yeah, come on.
Yeah.
45.
Thanks, Kurt.
Mitch, is there any major difference between living on the East Coast versus the Midwest?
The culture is a little bit different. I'd say some of the people aren't as warm, but it's, you know, everyone's very, very nice still. It's just not as like warm and earnest like it feels like out in the Midwest.
Okay. So
I guess that would be the main difference. Not everyone likes sports out here. I think it's 50-50, in my opinion. So you can't bond over sports like can out in the Midwest, where I feel like it's trying to strike up a conversation with somebody, and chances are there's some kind of sports fan, right? Like some kind of baseball basketball fan. But yeah, not here. Definitely don't get that sentiment here as much, or that pride for the sporting team. Maybe in Boston you would, but I'm not in Boston, so.
So Mitch, now we like to play a game of golf. Rapid fire questions. And so just give me whatever comes to your mind, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, favorite movie.
Oh, God. Favorite movie. Can you skip to the next one? Let me think about that one.
Okay,
I've never
favorite
been good
song.
At that question. Favorite song. My God, skip that one, Kurt. I'm not good at this game. Sorry.
Favorite food.
Pizza.
Least favorite thing to do.
Folding my laundry. Hate it.
Amen.
Fashion.
What is your happy place?
My happy place is in the wilderness.
Who's
nature
your
therapy. I have to say Michelle Obama.
Love her.
Love her.
Okay. Favorite movie.
Okay. What was the next one? Favorite song?
Yep.
I don't know, sir. I have all of them.
All of them.
Country.
You're wild, man. Just wild.
I am. I'm sorry. I'm bad at those.
Mitch, do you have the funniest memory of growing up with me? Is it something that sticks out in your mind?
Funniest memory. your plays were for you during the holidays when you got the Collins there and you had roles for them to play and a show for parents and the kids and uncles. I felt a proud moment and a funny moment in my mind because you're just so creative early on. So I just want you to know that.
Oh, thank you, man. Mm-hmm. I did love putting on those plays. I used to come up with little Christmas plays for family.
The other funny moment, I have to say, the other funny moment had to do when you were drunk. So I don't know if you're going to say that on air.
Well, is it, I'm the one that
I just
sticks out
and describe it?
Yeah, or, can you describe it?
Okay, so you basically walked off a balcony and you had no idea that the balcony didn't continue. And it was like a half story up, so I knew you weren't going to get hurt, but I did not even see it coming. So in Eau Claire, when you came to visit me in college. There, that's it.
I landed in those bushes and I was just shocked to shock. I just was like, what just happened? I just walked.
I think we all were. Thankfully, the bushes below broke your fall.
And I was like talking. You know, I was just talking and then.
It was like watching somebody walk off a cliff. It was just like, what just happened?
That was so funny. Thank you for coming. I have one last question for you.
Sure.
What is your legacy?
I have to say, just, I know this sounds cliche, but really just trying my best to make a positive impact on the world and specifically, you know, making people and animals happy and laugh too. I love making people laugh. I can be funny too, by the way, Kurt. But,
okay.
Yeah, you know, whether it's rescuing a puppy from Humane Society or pound shelter or really just telling, you know, making a cute little joke or a funny little joke to somebody and making them smile, just knowing that they were able to, you know, they smiled that day and hopefully I had an impact.
Oh, man, it's just so cute. Well, I love you a lot, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having me. It was an honor.
And I miss you.
I miss you, too. Come out to Connecticut.
I know. I got to look it up on a map.
Or see me next week for San Diego Pride, one of the two.
I know. Mitch is going to another Pride. I'm so jealous. You don't even know.
Pride hopping.
Okay, I love you, Mitch. Thank you.
All right, love you long time. Yep,
right,
bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. My name is Kirk Collins. This is the Kirk Collins Show. That is our show for today. Thank you, Mitch Collins. Thank you, Whitney Velos and Stacy, for being a part of the Kirk Collins Show. Don't forget, spread the word. Like us on Facebook at The Kirk Collins Show. Follow me on Instagram at The Kirk Collins. Thank you for listening. It means the world to me. I hope the episode leaves you just remembering to be yourself, love yourself. In the words of RuPaul, if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? Can we get an amen up in here? You're listening to The Kirk Collins Show.